Welcome to our latest Guitar Noise podcast. I'm David Hodge, managing editor of Guitar Noise. That's at www.guitarnoiseontheinternet.com. Today we're going to be learning a little bit about swing time, so you might want to get your guitars. Not to mention pencil and paper. And we'll get started on things, okay? Welcome aboard, and hope you enjoy the lesson. As I mentioned, we're going to work on swing rhythm. It's one of the things that we haven't talked about yet. Or if we have, it's been very, very brief and very much in passing. And it's an essential thing to know if you're going to be playing the blues. Whether you decide that you're going to be strumming the blues or just doing a little typical blues riff, you know, that sort of thing. But it's also used in tons of other songs, and getting the feel for the difference between swing rhythm and regular or straight rhythm is very, very important, okay? So we're going to try to walk you through that first, and then use it in some practical applications, and hopefully before the half hour is up, you'll feel like, oh my God, I know this stuff. So, or if not, you'll know it with a little bit of practice. Okay, you with me? Here we go. In the beginning was the quarter note. We use the quarter note to, for the most part, keep time, to keep our beat steady. So, for instance, if I'm counting, and I'm going to use my low E, the sixth string, as a guide here, I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. That's easy enough, isn't it? Okay, so we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, this is actually a great exercise for you guys if you want to get developing your fingers, okay? And it may seem kind of really silly, but it actually does work. I'm using my thumb to keep the bass note going. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, while I'm playing the bass note with my thumb, the low E string, I'm going to use one of my fingers, my index finger, my middle finger, my ring finger, matters not, to hit the high E string, the first string, the one that's closest to the floor, the thinnest string, however you want to look at it, okay? And I'm going to do quarter notes with that too. So this is going to be kind of like a pinch in finger style. Too bad. Okay, that's easy enough. We're going to slow this down now in order to point out the difference between swing time and regular straight time. And to do that, first we're going to look at eighth notes, the way that we normally keep thinking about eighth notes. Eighth notes are one half a beat. So I'm going to let my thumb keep a nice even pace with the quarter notes. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 2, 3. Now my index finger, or whatever finger you decide, or combination of finger, is going to play eighth notes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. It's actually kind of amazing how you can get into automatic pilot with this. If you've been following the finger style lessons on Guitar Noise, see that this is how our patterns develop. Our fingers like just doing things on automatic pilot. Okay. Now, swing. The whole idea of swing is to have the feel, rather than being in straight half beats, to think in terms of triplets. At least that's the first stage of what we're going to be doing. Okay, I know this is going to seem a little convoluted, but bear with me as far as this goes. So we want to be able to keep the beat in terms of triplets. Our thumb again, 1, 2, 3, now finger and triplets. Okay, a triplet, again, if we're counting our beat, 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, the definition of swing eighths is that we're going to take that triplet, 1, 2, and we're going to cut out the middle one. So it's going to sound an awful lot like a heartbeat, 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, this is not going to be the easiest thing in the world, but give it a try. Now, if you're just working on, don't worry so much about trying to do both of these, okay? I should have said that a little bit earlier. I'm more worried about you just getting the feel of the difference between eighth notes and swing eighth notes. So if you want, let me play the bass with the thumb, okay? And you just pick the high string in order to keep the beat. Deal? All right. So here's our triplets, 1, 2. All right, and our swing eighths is 1, 2, 3, 4. So I'm going to start again with the bass, 1, 2, 3, 4. Then I'm going to add our swing eighths, 3, here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. How you doing? Probably finding this isn't all that hard because of the fact that it's something that you're used to, you hear all the time. Nice. Now, here comes the fun part. We are used to thinking about our strumming in terms of going up and down strictly on our half beats. But now, if we're thinking about ourselves being in terms of swing eighths, we are going to want to adjust our strumming so that we're going up and down in terms of swing eighths. All right? Let that soak in for a minute, okay? Now, pick a chord, any chord, or pick this one because I'm doing it. It's E, all right? E major. And I'm going to first just go down in quarter notes. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay? Now, straight eighths. 1, 2, 3, 4. Remember on our ups, the ands, we're not hitting all the strings, we're just catching a couple of the thin ones. Kind of like a cocking motion so we're ready to go down again. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, so far so good. Now with triplets, different teachers teach this different ways. They may try to get you to do alternating every single time, you know, up and down regardless of the count. 1, 2, 3, 4. I have a problem with that personally, just simply because of the fact that it's real easy to just, with the slightest slip, turn your triplets into 16th notes because you're using a constant alternating motion. So I try to recommend people to go down always on the beat. So that means that you're going to have a little hiccup in your stroke because you're going to be going one and meaning down, up, down, and then you need to get right back up for that next down. One and a two and a three and a four and a one and a two and a three and a four and a two and a three and a four and a one. Okay? Now, when we're using the swing eighths, though, I don't want my to be down. I could have it one and a two and a three and a four and a. But what I really need to do is I need to get myself so that I can do my down and up only with a swing eighth feel. One and a two and a three and a four and a one and a two and a three and four and a. The common metaphor that people like to use with this is like a bicycle with a flat tire. You can also think about walking with a limp, you know, pretend you're Dr. House. One and a two and a three, walking down the corridor. One and a two and a three and a four and a one and a two and a three and a four and a one and a two and three and a four and a. How's it going so far? Okay. This gets stranger as you pick up the pace because the difference between eighth notes and swing eighth notes tends to blur the faster that you go. But the thing is that it's still there. It's very, very much a feel. So, for instance, if I go one and a two and a three and a four and a one and a two and a three and a four and a one and a two and a three and a four and a one and a two and a three and a one and a two and a three. Now we're limping along really, really fast because somebody's dying and it's an emergency, no? Now you probably hear this in tons of songs and you're wondering, oh my God, well, how do you count that out? Well, the way that you count that out is, again, in swing eighths. And that's what we're thinking about is, again, a swing eighth is a triplet with the middle triplet totally taken out. Okay, so instead of going one and a two and a three and a four and a, we got one and a two and a three and a four and a. Again, we want to do that in an up and down motion, so we got one and a two and a three and a four and a two, three. What happens is that we're going to count swing eighths, you start counting the ends that way. One, a two, and three, and four, and one, and two, and three, and four, and one, and two, and three, and four, and one, and two, and three, and four, and. Now, this is a little tip. Again, when you're playing a song, you need to set the tempo and you need to set the pace. But most people will just go and count one, two, three, four. What makes it a little bit easier for yourself is if while you're counting your 1, 2, 3, 4, you decide how you're going to count, whether or not it's swing, whether or not it's a particular pattern that you're interested in, and strum it out without, you know, just lay your fingers lightly across the fretboard so you get that kind of thing going. And you think, 1 and a 2 and a 3 and a 4 and... See, I've already got my swing eighths going. One, two, three, four. And that way you get it in your mind before you even start playing. And that's the same with anything. If you're doing something really, really fast, like in 16th notes, one and two and three and four and one, two, three, four. If you get it in your head before you even start playing, you're three quarters of the way there. So take a little bit of time if you know that you're going to be playing in swing and just go one, two, three, four. One and a two and a three and a four. Okay. Now, has anybody foreseen a problem with this? Biggest problem most people have with swing eighths is changing chords. I probably don't have to explain why, but in case I do, because of the fact that you've got a triplet instead of a regular eighth, you're going to have less time to make your chord changes. So this is a point where you, again, want to start out, if you're practicing something for swing eighths, slow, and then work your way faster. So why don't we take a standard 12-bar blues in the key of E, since we're working in E. We've got E, and we've got either A or A7. I'm using A7 there. And then we're also going to have a B7. B7 is index finger on the first fret of the D string, middle finger, second fret of the A string, ring finger, second fret of the G string, pinky, second fret of the high E string, and you don't want to hit the low E string, the one closest to you. So you've got B7. Now, we're going to have four measures of E. And you can also use E7 there if you want to use that instead, or you can interchange them. It's totally up to you. Two measures of A or A7. Two measures of E. One measure of B7. One measure of A7. Two measures of E. Okay? Did you get all that? Let's try that again. Four measures of E. Two measures of A, two measures of E, one of B7, one of A or A7 again, and two final ones of E. By the way, if you're interested in the structure of 12-bar blues, we do have a number of articles about that on the Guitar Noise site. One probably best to get started is the lesson on going to Kansas City. It's in the Easy Songs for Beginners page. So that will help you figure out the structure and how 12-bar blues works. Okay? So, here we go. Now, right before we start, I'm going to give myself a count, but I'm also going to count myself out in swing eighths with my little chunky stuff. So, one, two, three, E. Here we go. One, two, three, four. Third measure, two, three, four. Fourth measure. Now we're going to A or A7. Second measure. Now back to E. Okay, now to B7. Now to A7. Now, you may have noticed there that for the most part I was doing a bass strum, and that actually works out very, very particularly well with this sort of timing. You can also use a full strum. One, two, three, four. Now we're going A7. Back to E. Now B7. A7. And E7. For E. Okay. How are you hanging with this? Not too bad so far, huh? Great. All right, let's try this a little bit faster, just to give it a little bit more of a swing feel. And, okay, so I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, E, here we go. fourth measure now to A or A7. Back to E. B7. A7. E. 2, 3, and double. Cool. Now, let's use what we've just done here with this E blues and 12-bar blues format and spice it up a little bit and also use this as a way of getting ourselves comfortable with the idea and the concept of swing rhythm, swing eighths. So, what we're going to do is we're going to start out with an E, but I think it would be better off if we go with an E7. So E7, in case you're not really with it, is we play an E chord and we just take our middle finger off of the D string. Give us an open D. Okay? Now, the ring finger and the pinky are going to be very important, so bear with this because this is going to not only be a great exercise for you as far as getting your swing eighths and things, it's also going to develop a little bit of coordination and dexterity and strength in your ring and pinky fingers. We're going to start out with, first off, a typical bass drum. So we're going to just hit the low E string, one, and ah. Okay? So it's a swing eighth thing that we've been doing, but we're going to emphasize a bass drum. Bass note, and then chord in the up strum. And again on the chord, we're only worried about catching a few notes. So don't worry about if you get the whole thing. You know, ultimately, it's going to get really kind of crowded and muddy, so don't worry about that. We want to go one and a two and a three and a four and a one and a two and a three and a... Okay? Now, here's the deal. We are going to walk our bass line on the beats. So on the one, two, three, four, we are going to use four different bass notes. The first bass note is going to be our open E. One. Then we've got our chord on ah. Then we're going to use our ring finger, get the third fret of the low E string. It's a G note, but what I want to do is I want to give it a little tug to bend it slightly between G and G sharp, making it kind of blue note. One and ah, two and ah. Okay? Let's try that on the three and four as well so that we can just get used to the idea of doing this. So slowly, one and two and three and four and one and two and three and four and one and two and three and four and one and two and three and one and two and three and four and That's not too bad, is it? Now, the cool thing about this particular fingering is that you can also use it on A7. A7, if we're going to do it in bass drum, we would use A, our fifth string, as our root note. So we'd go 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and... Now, what I'd like to suggest is when you finger the A7, you use your first two fingers, your middle finger and your index finger. So you want your index finger on the second fret of the D string and your middle finger on the second fret of the B string. One and a two and a three and a four and a. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to use our ring finger again on the third fret of the A string, and we're just going to hit it and pull slightly. One and a two and a three and a four and a one and a two and a three and a four and a. Not too bad. Let's try that again. One and a two and a three and a four and a one and a two and a three and a. So, we have already given our 12-bar blues kind of a little bit more fun. Let's start out with the E and see how we do. We're using this ring finger pulling thing, okay? So one and two and three and a four and a four of E. Two, three, four, two. Here's our third measure. Good. Now A. Back to E. on B7, just go for the record. And A7 back. And we'll end. Now, that's going to take a little bit of practice, but I think that it'll be worth it. Okay, now, back to our E. We started out with our E on the first beat. On the second beat, we used our ring finger and pulled down on that G note, giving it a kind of a blue kind of feel to it. All right, we're playing our E or E7, and we're going to go for E7 because that frees up the ring finger. On the third beat, we're going to hit the B note, which our middle finger conveniently is on. It's on the second fret of the A string. Okay, that's easy enough. And then for the fourth beat, we're going to use our pinky to get the fourth fret of the A string. That's a C sharp note. Now, that's a bit of a stretch. And when you're playing this with the bass chord thing going on, you want to also get that pinky right off as soon as you get it. Hit the note, and then take it off so that it doesn't interfere with your upstroke. Most of you are going to find that your fingers are not going to clear the strings if you're going to do an upstroke, and you'll get this sort of thing going. And that's not what you want. So hit the note and bail so that you can do your upstroke. Okay? So really, really, really slowly, it's going to be like this. 1 and a 2 and a 3 and a 4 and a 1 and... Do that again very slowly. 1 and a 2 and a 3 and a 4 and a 1 and a 2 and a 4 and a 1 and a 2 and a 4 and a 1 and a 2 and a 3 and a 4. Some of you may find that, well, hey, why don't I just hit the C note on the third fret of the A string with my ring finger and pull that to get the C sharp? And, yeah, you can do that. 1 and a 2 and a 3 and a 4. But for the sake of just getting your pinky into the mix and getting it used to doing things like this, I think you should go ahead and try it, at least, with the pinky. See how it goes. So, we're going to pick this up a little bit. You ready for it? Okay. 1 and a 2 and a 3 and a 4 and a 1 and a 2. Let's get it going even faster so we can be really, really swinging. Okay. 1 and 2 and a 3 and a 4 and 1 and 2 and a 3 and a 4 1 and 2 3 4 1 2. Here we go. You may have heard as I was doing that scratch rhythm at the beginning, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. That's actually kind of an awful lot like Celtic music. They use that a lot in the fiddle tunes, and the guitarists are going to need that for the rhythm practice. So when you're having fun practicing this, realize it's going to be used in a lot of stuff. Okay? We'll see you in 2 weeks. Thanks for tuning in.